Good morning, RCC. Thank you for being here this morning, and welcome those of you online that are watching. My name is Ryland Freeman. I'm a junior at Fleming Island High School, and I serve in the parking lot, children's, and student leadership ministry. Today, we're going to be talking about serving, if you haven't guessed, and our frequent reluctancy to serve, which can stem from our many different personal aspects, but ultimately comes down to just being human. One of the best biblical stories that relates to this topic is the story of Jonah. God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh and to call out the people of Nineveh. And Nineveh is a city that's just known for being full of sinners and is an enemy to the Hebrew people, which is Jonah's people. And because of this, Jonah has such a strong hatred for the Ninevites, which causes him to ignore God's direction and actually sail in the complete opposite direction to a city 2,500 miles away called Tarshish. So on the way, God sends a storm to get Jonah's attention, and to stop the storm, Jonah tells the sailors to throw him overboard, to which then God sends a fish to swallow him. And it takes him 40 days in the fish for him to finally have a turn of heart and to decide to follow God. And so when this fish spits him back out on land, God once again tells him to go to Nineveh to call the people out, and this time he complies. He goes to Nineveh and preaches a message that turns the people's heart. And it isn't some grand hour-long sermon full of intricate words and just beautiful different phrases. It's 8 words. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So this message spreads all throughout Nineveh and eventually gets to the king, who, when hearing this, makes a proclamation that everyone must wear sackcloth and call out to God, repenting. So the assignment is done. God reaches the Ninevites and the people are saved. But Jonah is not at all happy. In fact, he's so mad that he prays this to God. In Jonah 4, verse 2 through 3, it says, he prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." God used Jonah to do something absolutely incredible, saving the souls of hundreds of thousands of people and generations to come. But he cannot get over his unsympathetic way of thinking that just because these people were prodigious sinners that they deserve God any more or any less than the rest of us. And he's so hung up on this that he can't appreciate the great opportunity that he had been given. Don't we all make our own excuses, though? We say things like, we don't have time, we don't have the skill. Maybe we think there's already enough people and you wouldn't make much of a difference. Maybe you think you're too young or too old, or maybe you just don't care very much or have a passion to serve. But I can tell you one thing right now, and that is that God's plans will happen with or without you. And that brings me back to the part about Jonah's 8-letter message. It was, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." This message says nothing about why this is happening to the Ninevites, what the Ninevites can do to stop this, or any reference to God at all. But somehow the Ninevites know and do exactly what they should, praising God and repenting. Oh, yeah. I've been serving at RCC for the past roughly 5 years, and for countless different events like the back-to-school community service, the food kitchen, work days, Christmas, Easter, fall festival, and just all those different events. And with each time, I realize how it truly is a blessing to get to serve, especially with a group of people like we have at RCC. There really is no other group of people that I'd rather do kingdom work with. And I've noticed a drastic change in my behavior when I start to realize that serving is not something that I have to do, it's something that I get to do. I'm going to say that again, church. Serving is not something that I have to do, it's something that I get to do. And realizing this will change the amount you serve, the reason why you serve, and the attitude that you serve with. Let's get back to Jonah for a second. Think of what it would be like to be at Jonah's funeral and hear that pathetic eulogy. That Jonah ran from God, then reluctantly did what God asked him to do, and died bitter. If only he had appreciated the great opportunity that he had been given to work with God and to save souls. And we have that same exact opportunity to work with God and share God's message to other people. So which one would you rather hear at the end of your funeral, or at the end of your life? That you lived a life worthy of the calling you received, or Jonah's eulogy? I'd much rather hear the latter, or not the latter, the first one. And then hear from God what many of us have dreamed of hearing: well done, my good and faithful servant. Thank you for listening to me this morning, and please welcome Audrey as she comes out and continues the message.
Good morning, RCC. I am Audrey Milligan. I'm currently a junior at Clay High School, and I serve in a lot of ways at this amazing church. I serve as a small group leader for sixth grade girls. I serve on our student leadership team and our student worship team. So today, we just heard from Rylan about being designed for service and from Jonah about Jonah. So now we're going to take a look at what God says about this. So let's take a look at Moses. He was hiding out in the desert after he killed someone, and God called him to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt. Here are some of the excuses Moses makes when God clearly calls him out of a flaming bush, and God's responses to those doubts. So when we think of Moses, we think of, oh yeah, that's God's man. That's the one that led the Israelites out of slavery, out of their debt, and out of their bondage. But he had doubts too. So in Exodus 3:11, we read, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?'" He's thinking he's not qualified. But God says, "I am with you." In Exodus 4:1, we read, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" He's thinking they won't listen. God says, "It's not up to you. I will convince them with my power, and they will see my power through you." In Exodus 4:10, we read, "I have never been a good speaker. I wasn't one before you spoke to me, and I'm not one now. I'm slow at speaking. I can never think of what to say." He's thinking that he doesn't have the ability. But God says, "I know how I created you, and I will give you what you need to accomplish what I've given you to do. I created you and your weaknesses so that people would see me." And finally, in Exodus 4, verse 13, he says, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." He's thinking that someone else is better. But God says, "I know what I've created them to do, and I know what I've made you to do. Let me worry about them. You trust me." So what are some of the excuses that we might make or doubts we might have? I know I struggle with a bunch daily. Some of them might be that my faith isn't that developed, or that I'm not ready, maybe your age, or why me, not someone or literally anyone else. I know on the I'm not ready part, I have felt that so many times. We just moved back to the U.S. about a year ago because we were in South Africa for 10 years in mission work, and I was not ready to come back at all. I was like, "Ooh, yeah, can we stay here? That'd be nice." But I'm a teenager. I can't say, "No, I'm staying in this country. You guys can go." So I had to say yes. But why isn't it like that with God? Why can't we have that childlike faith that when he calls us, we come running and we say, "Yes, God, I'm coming," and we don't have a choice but to listen to him? You know, the Bible talks about having a childlike faith. And so some of these doubts go hand in hand with what Moses says, that they're not going to listen. I can't do it. Why me? But let me ask you this. We've looked at what God says to all of Moses' excuses. What do you think he might say to yours? You see, Moses doesn't believe that he can do what God says he's designed to do. I'm going to say that one more time. Moses doesn't believe that he can do what God says he's designed to do. How do we do the same thing? Do we believe that his design is flawed? That we can't trust it? If so, then what we're really saying is that we don't trust him. You don't have to be fully equipped to start the journey. He's going to give you everything you need along the way. I'm going to say that again. You don't need to be fully equipped to start the journey. He's going to give you everything you need along the way. So in Exodus chapters 3 and 4, we see God moving in action to liberate his people. God initiates his plan with Moses while he's herding sheep in the middle of nowhere. He comes to Moses and says, hey, I have a plan. I'm going to go rescue my people. I see my people. I hear their cries, and I know their pain. You know, what's really interesting is that the Hebrew word for know means that God's intimately acquainted with their pain. He feels it. He gets the doubts. He feels the pain. He's down there with them. But you know, the good news is God's plan is driven by his mercy and compassion for his people. We look at Romans 8, verse 20 through 21, which reads, for against its will, the universe itself had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. So my question to you is, who do you know that needs to be liberated? Who do you know that's held down by their sin? Who do you know that needs the freedom that God offers us in Christ Jesus? Is it you? A spouse, a relative, maybe someone you work with? If it's you, take action. Ask God to open your ears to hear his response to your questions and doubts. Thank you so much for letting me speak to you. I'm going to invite my good friend Dom out to finish the sermon.
Okay, good morning, church. My name is Dominic Martin. I'm a senior at Clay High School. I'm a senior. Yes, yes, yes. Praise God. Thank God I'm a senior. But yes, I am super, super excited just to go over this message that I have planned for you. So I serve here at RCC on the parking team, and I'm also a leader in student ministry. So yeah. So, over the summer, I was at the beach, and I saw a bird on the beach, and I saw this bird, and I was like, yeah, just a bird. I didn't really think of it till afterwards, and so I saw its beak, and I was like, that doesn't look like a normal beak on a bird. It's made for a purpose, and I think that bird really emulates how we are made. We are made for a purpose, and we are designed by God. So our abilities are because of God's capabilities. Anything that we do is because of God. Our job, our family, how we interact with people, our jokes that we make, is because of God, because he gave that to us, and he is the only one that deserves that glory. But some of us today are like, no, I don't want to show that gift that God gave me. I want to hide from God's face, and I think that there is a perfect example in Exodus 3, 2 through 6, about hiding from God's face. Okay. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. So this reminds me that a lot of us, including me, are scared to showcase our talents, our abilities within the church. You know, like, we just want to come to church every Sunday, and we just want to sit and just go through the routine of coming to church, but we don't actually want to get out and do something. And that was a struggle for me for the longest time. I just wanted to remain stagnant. I just wanted to go to church and leave after that. And God said, "No, Dominic, I have bigger plans for you than that." So for me, a lot of the time I would be like, "God, I'm not good enough to be used for your kingdom." But God says to us that we are perfectly, fearfully, and wonderfully made by him. And I think that is so important for us to remember that we are perfectly and wonderfully made. We are made holy in the blood of Jesus Christ from that cross. So my point here is God's response reminds us to stop preaching our shortcomings to God and start preaching God to our shortcomings. So we can't go to God and be like, "God, man, I'm really struggling right now, God. You know, like, fix this right away." And I'll be like, "Yes, I'll start serving you once you fix it. Once you snap your fingers and you fix it, God, I'll start serving you." No, that's not how God works. You serve him, and then slowly over time, he fixes you. He makes you whole. He makes you new once you serve. And so this also brings me to anything we do, whether it be in our shortcomings, we must turn to God and serve him for his glory. And so one of my favorite verses of all time, before every football game, before every wrestling match, I say this verse in my head. "So whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Eating or drinking, we might see as something very small. But church, it's big in God's eyes. We have a purpose, and that purpose on this earth is to bring all the glory to Jesus Christ. And when you serve for the glory of God, you will begin to see a shift in the structure of your heart. You'll begin to change. You'll begin to be made new, and you'll begin to be made whole. So in Matthew 4:18-22, here it is. "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will send you out to fish for the people.' At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." So our net is our job, our career that we're chasing, maybe our college dreams and aspirations. With that net, we feel comfortable. we feel whole, and we begin to find our identity in that net. And I think one of the things here that Peter, Andrew, James, and John is they are being obedient to God. And I think that is the most important thing as being a follower of Christ is being obedient to God's calling for your life. Saying, God, yes, use me. And when you drop your net, your life changes for the good. At first, it's going to be hard. You're going to be like, God, why did you call me to do this, God? It's going to be hard. I heard this a while back, but Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. And it's not going to be easy. So Jesus called us to a life of service to him. What is stopping you from dropping your net? Thank you.
I love it. Can we do videos like that every week? That's fantastic. Hey, didn't these students do an incredible job? Incredible. So, yeah, we are all super proud of them. And I just need to mention that these students, the ones leading worship and the ones speaking, they are not the exception. They are not like the rare ones in our student ministry. We have tons of exceptional students. Our student ministry is filled with kids that love the Lord and they want to serve him, and they just model that in everything that they do. They wear their faith with pride in their homes and in their schools and wherever they go. And man, it is just such a blessing to be a part of that. And I think that serving is a value to our students because it's modeled for them in so many different ways. It's modeled to them in their homes, right? So they have parents and families that love to serve, and they love to give back, and parents are the primary influencers of their students, right? So when they see you, mom and dad, serving, aunts and uncles, grandparents, when they see you serving, they imitate you. So thank you so much for your hearts that are for the Lord and for his kingdom, because they're watching and they're doing what you do, and we love that. We love that you're here and that you're leading your kids in faith. They also, one of the things that I love about RCC is every week there's a ministry highlight where we are sharing with our church. This is a way to get involved in the body of our church, in serving, and in our community, to serve in our community and throughout the world. So every week they hear from RCC, this is a value of ours. Serving is a value of ours. And I love that. They also have small group leaders that meet with them every week, and that's about a 3-hour at least weekly commitment, and they've all got leaders that they've connected with, not just for like a short season, but over time, every week those leaders show up and pour into the lives of our students, and when they see that, they know the commitment that our leaders have for them and the commitment that they have to those that they influence as well. So I love that. And I believe that one of the reasons that God continues to bless our church and grow our church is because that so many of us serve. It's not just a small percentage here at RCC that are involved in serving. It's many of us. And I love that. And I think that's one of the big reasons that we're growing. And we're growing. So you've probably heard, but we are moving to 3 services in about a month. And man, what an incredible blessing that God keeps sending people to RCC so that we can help them connect with the Lord and connect with his people. Man, what a hum, like I'm just, yeah, it's incredible. I can't even find the words because my heart is sitting here going like, man, what a humble thing to be involved in and to be a part of leading a small piece of that. And here's the deal, church, we need you. We need you as God continues to send us more people to connect with his body, the church, and to connect with him and his gospel. We need more servants. So your students this morning gave a great message on challenging you to show up, challenging you to not run from God's call, and to stop making excuses or living in the comfort of what I already know, as Dom shared with that net. I already know how to do this, and I'm comfortable here. God will prepare you and give you what you need when you need it, and we believe that to be true today. So in your seats, you have a card that says, put me in, coach, on it. And on that card, if you turn it over to the other side, it has a bunch of ministries that we know we're going to need some help with as we continue to grow. So we've got our kids ministry. God is blessing us with young families with a lot of kids. And over a weekend, we are already seeing 300 kids every weekend here at RCC. And we have wonderful leaders that are sharing the gospel of Jesus with them in our kids ministry. And we're going to keep growing. So one of the big reasons we have to go to another service is more room for kids. So we need more helpers to facilitate that. So please, please sign up to help us in that. We need 30 people there. We need 10 more people to help with our kid check desk, and that's just facilitating and communicating to moms, hey, your kids are going to be great, and helping them orient and get used to checking their kids in here. We need 15 more people helping with parking. As we grow, parking becomes a problem, and we need people to go from this, being stressed out of I don't know where to go or what to do, to this, because somebody is guiding me in. It's really that simple, but we need more lightsabers in the parking lot. So we need 15 more people on our Connect team so that when everyone that God is sending walks in the door, they know where to go. They've met with a friendly face. If they need to find a restroom or a seat or whatever that is, we can help them with that. We need 25 more ushers because this room is getting more full. We've already had to add chairs a couple of times. But as we continue to grow and God sends more people, we need to be much more intentional about helping everyone find a seat. So we need a lot more ushers to join us. So if God is calling you or you think you can help with any of those ministries, please, right now, go ahead and mark those spots and write your contact info on there. And here's what you can do with those. You can drop them at the crosses here on the sides of the room. You can put them in the giving boxes in these small lobbies, or you can hand them to one of our student greeting teams and ushers as you walk out the door. But please sign up to help us as we grow, because ultimately we want more people to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are flattered and humbled that God is using this church to accomplish that mission. Here's what I believe, church. If you change a world, eventually you can change the world. If you change a world, eventually you can change the world. And after I just asked you about those ministries, you're like, yeah, how does a world change because of a greeter or somebody in the parking lot? Well, I just want to give you one example. So in a previous ministry, there was a greeter there, a retired man named Sam. And early when I got to that church, I met Sam because Sam meets everybody. It was a big church, but Sam knew everybody there. And as you walked in the door to that church, you knew that Sam was going to know your name. He was going to know your story, something about you, and he was going to ask about what was going on in your world and get that update every week. And I love to walk into Sam's smiling face and to connect with my friend and get to know him more. And hundreds of people loved to walk in those doors and connect with Sam. So much so that one of our graduating classes, we would always ask our students when they graduate to give us like the names of five people that have made a resounding influence on your faith. And I had probably 12 or 14 graduates that year, and half of them put Sam on that list. Because they knew connecting with this loving man every Sunday morning, him making you feel so welcomed in the church, welcomed in the presence of the Lord, that he knows you, he knows about you, and he's always there to encourage you. that makes such a difference. So I believe that changing that world can start in the parking lot and in the atrium and helping people find a seat, relieving all that tension and helping a mom know that their kids are going to be cared for, well taken care of, and safe. All of that we need your help with. And I think that if you're sitting there thinking, yeah, I want to do something bigger, oh, it's huge. What we are asking for is people experiencing the kingdom of God because of you. So on that card, please check one of those boxes if you feel called to. And let me pray over that right now. And our students are going to come back out and finish us up in worship. Let's pray, church. God, first, I praise you and thank you for godly parents that love their students, that love connecting other people to the gospel, that love growing in their faith, that love serving in their church. And I thank you for a church like this one where our students can come and grow in you, can experience excitement and love and passion in the kingdom of God. And I'm so thankful for the gospel of Christ that's growing in this community because of RCC, because of the people that you keep sending, because of the leadership that you've put in place, and because, God, your spirit rests on us. And God, I believe that. I believe that you'll continue to bless us because we listen. And when you call us to do something, we're going to go. So God, I pray that you continue to work through us to accomplish that mission, that you continue to bless this place because we are on mission and we're listening. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.